Today's daf is daf Kuf Zayin, Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh. And we are ready to move on to a sugya that we've seen is intimately part of our discussions of Yibum for some reason. We've seen this again and again. And today we're going to get much more deeply into why Miyun, where are the interactions between Miyun and Yibum. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret in advance about the depths of these interactions. And it revolves around how interrelated is the Zika of a Yavam to the original marriage to his brother. And that's going to make a tremendous difference in understanding Miyun. Let's just once again review what Miyun is. Miyun is something like a chalitza. It's something like a get. It's the only other way besides death itself for a woman to get out of a marriage. So getting out of a marriage is either through the death of a husband, the giving of a get, the giving of chalitza, in the case where the husband's marriage is mechayev her in the extension into the yavam. And there are also derabbanan issues in giving a get, which does not achieve an end to the Zika, but which achieves an isser on the brothers. And there is also one additional thing, which is called miyun. Now, how does miyun get into that list? Miyun simply means that a woman can walk out on her husband and say, I don't like you. How is that? So remember that the Rabbanon created a Kedusha Rabbanon for a child, a female child, although Tosfos says that there is some equivalent in a male child in the sense that we want to encourage children to be married in order, when it comes to the male, we want him to be married because we want him to get used to sex early before he gets all messed up. And in the case of the female, we want her to be protected from predators, and therefore we create a situation where if there's no father, who normally would be the one to take care of her, would be able to accept Kedushin, and that would be Diraisa, Biti Natati Le'ish Hazeh. But there's also a Dirabonan that in the event that there's no father, then it's possible to create a Kedushin. A mother can be Makabal Kedushin, a brother can be Makabal Kedushin, and that, even though it has no Makar in the Torah, is a Kedusha Derabbanan that was instituted for protection. But it's not like the case of the male, where over there, just the Rabbanan said, we don't consider it to be wrong in any way for a male to be having sex as a child. But they didn't say, let us make it Kodesh. Masha Enkein, by the female, we'll see why they actually said, let us make it Kodesh and provide a Mizgeret, provide a context for that type of marriage. We'll see why they did that. And they therefore had to provide a way out of that marriage that would not create permanent damage to the child's status. If she would need a get, then first of all, as we know, you go through hell to get a get, and it's not in her hands. It would be in the hands of the husband. If we're providing her protection, we need to protect her from a husband who is a predator. And that could be either for sexual purposes or for monetary purposes. If she has things that were brought into the marriage and a husband, like we saw yesterday in the case of the Yotham, the husband wants to take advantage of her money. He wasn't really interested in her. We have to make it possible for her to just walk out on him, which, by the way, provides its own level of protection for the nature of the marriage, as we're going to see today. Because if she can just walk out, then that means that the husband is going to be careful not to antagonize neither her nor the relatives that will be telling her, you better walk out from this guy. He's trying to take advantage from you. So if the relatives, well, she may not be very savvy in terms of her investments and so on, but the family is going to tell her, get away from this guy before he leaves you bereft. So therefore, there's a level of protection that's provided by Miyun that goes beyond the visible, immediately visible level of protection. All of these things we're going to see. Now, How does that relate to Yibum and Chalitza? On the obvious level, it relates to Chalitza because it is an equivalent type of being able to get out of a marriage without actually getting a get. And therefore, it also reminds us, and we're going to see today again, a machlokas, it reminds us of what the status would be of a woman who took a get from one of the brothers who becomes asura on all of the brothers. That raises a question, what about if there's a miyun to one of the brothers? Would that asur all of the brothers? Fine, that's also an interesting interrelationship. But there's a much more profound interrelationship. And that is, insofar as Yibum is the continuation of the marriage of the original brother, correct? That's the idea. And we call that Zika. If a ketana is mima'enet, not in her husband while he was alive, the husband died suddenly, she's now faced with a yavam, the brother of her husband. Can she do miyun to the brother? And if she can do miyun to the brother, now there's a deeper issue over here. There would be two ways of understanding that. She can do miyun in the sense that if that brother gave her ma'amar, what's normally the halacha? That you'll need a get for the ma'amar, but of course you will still need a chalitza for the zika, because you can't take off zika midiraisa, you cannot take off with a get, right? But you'll still need a get for the ma'amar, which will have all types of implications in terms of asinger for kohen and so on. What about miyun? Suppose he does ma'amar while she's a ketana, can she be mima'enet in the ma'amar so that at least she won't need a get? That's a simple question. What about the deeper question? When she goes ahead and does ma'amar to a yavam, is it understood that since the entire nature of the zika of her yavam to her is an outgrowth of the original marriage, then miyun should actually take off the zika? Because since that's the only thing that really binds her to him, and she would have been able to do miyun while her husband was alive, so then why can she not now do miyun to her husband's continued existence, so to speak, in the presence of the zika on her, right? Now, that is a profound question that relates to the entire way that we view the interrelationship of original marriage to the chiyuv of yibum. And because of that, there is a very fundamental reason that miyun is connected to yibum. It is a probe. It is a test of the interrelationships that go to the heart of yibum. And because of that, the sugya is a complex sugya because there are many issues that will be brought up that we never even considered before when we were learning directly the issue of yibum that only now become apparent to us through this new MRI of miyun. Okay, so let us begin just with the simple aspect of the Mishnah and get some of the ideas of how miyun applies. And then we will see in the middle of these ideas, which are machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, all of a sudden we become aware of the issue of miyun to a yavam as opposed to a baal. That will open up the sugya for us. Again, this is the incredible genius of the multi-leveled creation of the Mishnah that Rebbe was so careful of being misader in how it is that the Masechet always pretends to be talking about simple things, while in reality, it eases us into questions that touch on the fundamentals as we get further and further into the Masechet. And it pretends to be dealing with things that we've already understood and talks about the peripherals, and it gets closer and closer to the most fundamental issues. And I pointed out to you, this is exactly the way that nature works. It's exactly the way that science works. You first think you understand everything. We talk about the details. Okay, how do we analyze the simple issues of space and gravity and have to develop calculus and so on. We think that we're big shots and we understand what it's all about. And then, you know, as centuries go by, we gradually understand that that was all okay. That was all the mechanics and the childish issues. But what's it really all about? And then you finally get the levels where we're at today. We have absolutely no idea what it's all about, because we're totally stuck on the main interrelationship of exactly those issues, which you think has nothing to do with each other. And that is how the heck gravity has anything to do with the ideas of 20th century physics. How would it work out as a force in quantum mechanics? So what would quantum gravity mean? That is very similar to the question today. We're talking about two completely different issues that seem to have nothing to do with each other. And we come to understand that we cannot understand one without the other fully. This is what's happening in the Masechet. So we now get to the interrelationship of Miun with Chalitza Get, and therefore come to the question, the fundamental question: what is the connection of the husband's initial marriage to his current status as being hidden somewhere in this context of Zika to his brother? So, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein B'Ma'anim Ela Arusot. First of all, you should know that Miun does not apply if the woman is more than an Arusa. Now, let me just clarify. More than an Arusa does not necessarily mean that she is a Nisuah, because there's many levels of being more than an arusa. What about even the case we had before? Masra shluchei av l'shluchei abal. Well, that goes beyond the erusin. There's all kinds of dinim that it implies, but it's certainly not technically nisuin, right? And Beit Shammai is not saying ein miun l'nisuot. He's saying ein miun ela l'arusot. So let's say she goes to a chuppah, but she never consummates the marriage. So again, is that included? Ein miun? Does it have something to do with their having actually slept together? All of this we need to clarify. But any step beyond arusa, Beit Shammai seems to reject. And we'll see what those steps are. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, why not? Arusa, nisua, it's the same idea. Miun is miun. Beit Shammai Omrim, Bebal.
Can really clarify. I always thought that if the father gives her over, it's like Kedushin completely.
What?
I always thought when the father gives up his daughter to the Baal.
No.
You can really explain it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for obviously there is no father in this case, or we couldn't be discussing Miun. What we're talking about when I say that the father gave her over, there could be a physical father, but he's not a halachic father. Remember, that's called yitoma b'chayei ha'av. So yitoma b'chayei ha'av is where she had once been married through the father's accepting kedushin, or once been sold, and now she's out of that situation. He loses all rights to her, having once utilized the dinim of a ketana that a father is Zohatu. So now, even though he's a father, he's not a halakhic father. He doesn't have any power over her. So there is obviously a case where a real father could give her over, but it would only be a Kedushi de Rabbona. Okay, does that help you? All right. Furthermore, when we say Masra Ha'av or Shluchei Ha'av, it's here usable as a way of referring to a concept. In this case, it would be the mother gave her over or the brother gave her over. But the idea is the same, that is a step beyond erisin towards actual relating to, right? Okay. So
there's no kinyan of kedushin in this case.
What?
There's no kinyan of kedushin. He never gave a kesef or a ring or acquired it through bia. That stage has never happened in this case.
The Arisa.
It's a direct Rabbanan in this case.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so Beit Shammai further says, and here is the critical point that's going to involve us. You can only do miun to a husband, not to a yavam. Where Beit Hillel says, you can do miun both to a husband and to a yavam. Ah, now this touches on the issues we were talking about. Furthermore, Beit Shammai Omrim, if you're going to do Miyun, you have to tell him to his face, I don't like you. I want out. You can't just walk out. Because if you just walk out, then she is liable to be put under tremendous pressure by family members that don't like the husband, where she really does like the husband, but they're pushing her to, don't go back to that guy. He's no good. So she won't go back, but that's not really Miyun. So she has to actually tell him, I don't like you. I want out. Beit Hillel says, it doesn't matter. Befanav, shelo befanav, that's Miyun. Another thing is, Beit Shammai Omrim, is that if she's going to do Miyun, it has to be done in front of a Bezdin. Beit Hillel says, makes no difference. Could be in Bezdin, not in front of Bezdin. Beit Hillel said to Beit Shammai, there's another issue. If she's Bima'enet in one husband, and then she gets married again because her brother accepted Kedushin from another guy, she could be Mima'enet in the second guy. She could be Mima'enet in a third guy. She could be Mima'enet 100 times. What's the difference? The Rabbanan gave her a right to a protective relationship. Whereas Beit Shammai said, it's ridiculous. Ein benot Yisrael hefker. I mean, you're turning her basically into a prostitute. Except that you're saying that, you know, we're giving it an official status. You can't make benot Yisrael hefker. Oh, I don't like this guy. Tonight I'll try another guy. Oh, I don't like this guy. Tomorrow night I'll try another. That's crazy. Because that boils down to making them hefker. I say, says Beit Shammai, she can be mima enet, and that's it. She then has to wait until she grows up. Mamtenet atch tagdil, and then she'd be mima enes again, v'tima ein. And then she can get remarried. What? That the Gemara is going to say, what in the world is that supposed to mean? She could be Mima'enet again. Now, the way that the Gemara will come out at the end, the most preferable understanding of the Mishnah is this. He's saying two different things. She can either be Mima'enet and Mamtenet Achitagdil, and that way she will only be Mima'enet once, and that's what is correct to do, or she could be Mima'enet once, and if she sees, oh, heck, I made a mistake, I really, fine, then let her get married to him. She can then go to the chuppah with him, yes, because that we don't have a problem. So that if she wants to now say, well, I changed my mind, let's continue the marriage, that's okay, but you'll never be able to be Mima'enet, because the only way you can continue the marriage is by actually taking him as a full husband. And since I, Beit Shammai, hold that once you've taken a full husband, there's no Miyun, this satisfies my requirement of not treating Benot Yisrael as if they're Hefker. And the whole point over here is that we're trying to give them a status. So what kind of status is it to treat them as Hefker? That's the point. Okay. Omer Rav Yonah Shmuel. Why does Beit Shammai hold that Miyun only works if you're in a state of Erisin? Once you've gone beyond Erisin, it doesn't work. Explain that to me. I mean, the whole thing is only Drabbanan. So what's the difference? What level of marriage you've achieved? So the truth is, we have four different approaches in the Gemara to understanding Beit Shammai. So let's take approach number one. Approach number one is Shmuel's approach. Omer Rav Yonah Omer Shmuel, I'll tell you. My time in a Beit Shammai, lefi she'ein t'nai b'nisu'in. As we've seen before, many times throughout the Masechet, if you make a condition, the condition is canceled the moment that you take a woman to bed. Because what we call chibat bia. Basically, once people are intimate with each other, they're not, it's not a business anymore. It's intimacy. And okay, so I said she has to give me $200. Ah, the heck with it. Whatever it is. Or why would I have taken a woman to bed if I'm not sure that I want to continue my relationship with her? We do not assume, as we'll see here, except under certain circumstances, as Tosis points out, we do not assume that people want casual sex. They want sex that is mikudash. So the only place where we don't say that is, for instance, if a guy gave a get to his wife, and then he's alone with her in a hotel somewhere, that we assume, if that's a machlokas, but over there, Beit Shammai can hold it. We assume that he does want casual sex, because the whole thing is like, he doesn't want her as a wife. He gave her a get, and now they're alone in a hotel. So what's going on? Fine, but that's a special situation. Normally, we don't assume that. So therefore, the moment that you went ahead and took this woman to the chuppah, we'll see whether it's to the chuppah or literally to bed, then you've canceled whatever tzedayim there are. And because of that, says Beit Shammai, if miyun essentially is the only way that you can annul a marriage and you make it as if you were never married, doesn't that sound very similar and look very similar to people who are not booking the halacha to having married with a condition and then the condition fails? So you married with an understanding that we're going to give you $200 and you never did. So then the marriage is annulled. So when they see a katana walking out, they don't realize that there's a special mechanism called miyun, says Beit Shammai, and therefore they will think that it must be she's walking out after a year of marriage with this guy, sleeping with him, acting as man and wife. All of a sudden she walks out. Obviously, it must have been that there was a condition. But that isn't true, because you can't make a condition. We don't assume a condition survives an actual marriage, right? So in order to avoid that mistake, that's why Beit Shammai said, says Shmuel, that's why Beit Shammai said that you cannot have a situation of miyun if it's beyond eris. Wait a minute. But that's only because you're sleeping together. I mean, what if you just took her to the chuppah? I mean, over there, why couldn't you still have a tonight? And if that's the case, why would Beit Shammai say any step beyond Erisin, no miyun? He should say only if you're actually sleeping together, right? But he doesn't. He says any step beyond Erisin, which would mean what if she went to the chuppah and they never consummated the marriage? Veloni vala. What are you going to say over there? How come you can't do miyun? No, you're wrong. Because it's exactly the same thing. You do not make a tanai and a chuppah either. Because once you've taken the step of taking her to a chuppah, I mean, come on, think of the psychology over here. The guy's making this chatzneis, taking her to the chuppah, people are looking at the chuppah, and then the next morning we walk out because she didn't give me $200. Yuck, that's awful, right? So, I mean, you don't need literally the chiva of intimacy. Once you're ready to go that far, that's far enough, Beit Shammai is saying, to be canceling all the tana'im. So it's exactly the same. You don't have to literally take her to bed. Ain't tana'i b'chupa. Okay, fine. So how about an even earlier stage? How about if you handed her over to the shluchei habal? Now, again, as we just talked about to Alon, that could mean a father who is not a halachic father in these issues. Or it could mean just the name of a particular status. And in this case, of course, it means that the mother handed her over, the brothers there, whatever, right? But that is a pre-chuppah status, because we have three issues that take us beyond erisin. Level one, handing her over to the shluchei av, to the shluchei abal. So now she's on her way to the chuppah. Level two, she actually goes into the chuppah. Level three, they're actually intimate. Okay. And Beit Shammai says none of the above. So you explain to me why not the case where they were intimate. Why not even in the case where they went to the chuppah? But you haven't explained why not if all that happened was handing her over to the shluchei habal. That's because, Ma'ikal HaMemer over there, that's only because of a low plug. That's all. So the Rabbanan, look, like, people are not going to be able to be Mechalek, Erisin, Nisuin, three levels. Ah, please, let's make it easy. This is miyun for dummies, says Beit Shammai. No miyun after Erisin. Boom. That's all. Okay. Look, I can't help but point out what a pella it is that Zoom knows everything. It keeps putting Gershi and Gavi together because they're such close chavrusas and friends for so many years. How does it know? How does it know? I just don't understand.
Could we have an image of a glass of liquid and put that next to Rebbe so that...
There you are. An amazing glass.
Wow.
Even includes the special coloration of the Gavi material. As you see there, similar colorations. Uh-huh. There we go. Okay. That is Beit Shammai. So what does Beit Hillel say about that? He says it's ridiculous. Everybody knows about Miyun. Why would they make such a crazy mistake? Say there was a Tanai in it. This is imaginary. People know. They know that there's Miyun. I mean, this is making up such a concern for something that is not even a concern. Forget it. Okay. Shot number one of Beit Shammai, the chashash of confusion with conditions. Rabban Rav Yosef says, no, that's not the point. The point is that people don't like just promiscuous relationships. And because of that, time of the Beit Shammai, lefisha ein adam ose bi'ilato bi'ilat znut. And therefore, if she could do miyun at this point, it would now retroactively void the marriage, because remember, it annuls the marriage. And now this guy is thinking every time he sleeps with her, you know, who knows whether we're even married. It's just like an unpleasant feeling for him. And he doesn't like that. Since the whole point of miyun is that we want people to want to marry children. And if she can walk out on him, why would he want to marry children? It must be that we only provided miyun for the level where he doesn't have to feel rotten about the sex with her. Okay, that we can explain it. Says the Gemara, well, we have the same question about you. So what if they just went to the chuppah and there never was any sex? What's the issue then? Michael Amema, because it's the same thing. A person doesn't want to go into a chuppah when they're not even going to be allowed to be sleeping together. I mean, the whole thing is disgusting. What am I take this kid under the chuppah and then she'll walk out and then the whole thing? I mean, it's insane. I'm not going to get involved in this. So anything that is going to make the taking of a child problematic is undoing the whole point. So how would we make a miyun that makes it more unlikely that we're ever going to find someone who's ready to take her? So therefore, we made the same din. Okay, what about the first stage? Just handing her over to the Shluchei Abaal. I mean, what's the problem? You're also lo plug rabbana. This is miyun for dummies, and that's true according to our second shot of Rabba and Rav Yosef, not only according to our first shot of Shmuel. Okay, well, what did Beit Hillel have to say about that? Come on. I mean, we give him a whole ksuva and kedushin. I mean, the guy is convinced that, you know, this doesn't feel like promiscuous sex. I mean, look what I went through over here with the rabbis, with the edim. Oh, my gosh. So because of that, he's not going to feel that. Well, people are such like Tamire Chachomim. Well, what happens if she's going to be my enes? There should be okay, that's cruel, chathila, and then it'll be bilas and bilas. No, who thinks like that? This is, again, one of Beit Shammai's extreme chashoshes, which has nothing to do with real-life psychology, says Beit Hillel. Third approach is Rav Papa. That's not the issue. The issue is the fact that he may actually not take good care of his wife's property if at any point she could walk out. So, I mean, consider the situation. Normally, this woman comes in with Nichsei Maluk, right? And the husband has a right to take the produce of Nichsei Maluk. Now, what's he going to do? Is he going to rape her field or is he going to invest in her field? Well, if it's a long-term marriage, he's not going to take more than is appropriate for taking. He's not going to let the whole thing go to pot without weeding it, without caring for it. This is a long-term relationship. But imagine if at any moment she could walk out. So he's going to say, man, let me get what I can out of here before she walks out on me, right? So then he's not going to invest in the property. He's going to take more than he should have taken, and he's going to use it up. We don't want that to happen. So in Erisin, there is no right to Nichsei Maluk. Therefore, Beit Shammai says, okay, so she can walk out. But the moment that you go beyond the Erisin, now we have to worry. What is he going to be doing to her property? So as part of that, we cannot, for her own protection, we cannot give her miyun once he gets the right to the produce of her property. Very simple. And I have a chop, says Rav Papa. Because remember, Rav Papa is called Rav Papa with two mouths for a good reason. I say that the very reason of Beit Shammai is the reason of Beit Hillel. So Beit Shammai's reason is because of Peri, and Beit Hillel's reason is because of Peri too. Now let me explain. Time in a Beit Shammai Mishum Peri, because if you're allowing her to do Miyunas in a Su'ah, so then he's going to go and grab things while which he can, because he's afraid she'll walk out on him tomorrow. So Shomit Va'achaluhu Minah, the Sof Lamefer Kaima. She could always walk out, whereas Beis Hillel says, on the contrary. The idea is that the more she's able to walk out, the more careful the husband will be to do a good job. Because remember, you got a whole family sitting looking, so how's this guy going to be treating our little sister? And what's, oh, get away from him. Look at him. He doesn't behave himself. He's not investing in your stuff. He's a dangerous guy, blah, blah, blah. You know what they always have to say. And then she for sure is going to walk out on me. So Beis Hillel says, if I want to protect myself and I want to maintain this marriage, I better take very extra special care of her things so that she can't feel any of those things. So Beit Hillel says, on the contrary, if she could be Mema'enet, Kiven Damarte Ma'en, he will invest more in the property. Ashbuche Mashbach Luhu, because he'll be thinking to himself, you know, if I don't, Yilo, then all her relatives are going to be miyayitzer to walk out. And that will happen. Mafki lemine. So this is essentially a classic, according to Rav Papa, a classic distinction between an optimistic Beit Hillel and a pessimistic Beit Shammai. Is taking the same idea. Okay, and how will that affect people? This is really amazing. Okay, so that was Rav Papa's approach. And now the final approach is Rava's approach. The reason is because no one is going to invest in a proper marriage with this kid if she can walk out on him. Now, do we want her to be treated like a mensch? Do we want her to have a video of her wedding? Do we want her to have a beautiful Sa'uda? Sure we do. What do you think a guy who marries a ketana is going to do? He looks at the caterer. The caterer says, well, it's only $300 per seat, you know. He thinks to himself, I'm going to invest in this when she could walk out the next morning like heck. So he says, all right, we'll have a civil wedding in front of a justice of the peace. I'm certainly not going to make her a real marriage. So therefore, the point is that Beit Shammai is saying, Ein adam toreach b'su'uda u'mafsida. See, he's going to think, okay, so why should I marry a ketana? I won't take her at all. And therefore, we will be undoing the very purpose of the whole tikkun of ketana and marriage. Therefore, we have no choice. And what does Beit Hillel, what does he say about that? No, Beit Hillel says, people like to be called married. And that is more important to them than the risks of being mafsid. So you're only looking at it from one point of view. It's as if we need to drag people into marriage. Who would take a ketana? You're wrong. People, especially people who have a hard time finding anyone who would like them, they're very happy to have a nice opportunity to marry, and they'll risk it because tarvayu nechalu kedei deleifukalayu kala de ishus. Basically, both the girl and the boy are interested that people should look at them as being settled people, they're married, and so on, and they don't look at it. What you're saying, Beit Shammai, is they look at it as a waste of money, and I'm taking a big risk. On the contrary, they look at it as a grand opportunity. And therefore, once again, there's a tremendous difference in the psychological analysis of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about the impact of Miyun. Okay, that concludes our discussion of the four possibilities in why Miyun would be limited to Erusin. Excellent. Meanwhile, it's exposed the different levels of the psychological issues that are involved in the relationship. Okay. Now we get to the meat of our discussion, and that is the relationship of a Miyun to a Yavam and how that connects to the Baal. So our first issue is, when we say that she can be Mima Enet, according to Beit Hillel, what do we mean? That she can be Mima Enet, meaning to the Zika of Yibam? She doesn't need Chalitza? She doesn't need Yibam? Is that what Beit Hillel is saying? No. The Zika, after all, is out of anybody's hand. The Zika is a Diyoraisa. I understand that in this case, it's not really Diyoraisa because she was never married by Diyoraisa, but it's an extension. Once there was a marriage by Rabbanan, it's an extension of the concept of Zika that would have applied in a marriage, which is by Diyoraisa. And therefore, she cannot touch that. That has nothing to do with the first husband. So when Beit Hillel says that she can be Mima Enet, you know what he meant? He meant that if a brother gave her ma'amar, she can be mima'enet to the ma'amar, and she won't need a get for the ma'amar. That's what it means. So mima'enet le ma'amaro, but eina mima'enet le zikato. She certainly can't get out of the chiyuv of yibum and chalitza, can she? So then that means that everybody is ma'ida, that there is no mion for Zika. And the only machlokas picture by Beit Hillel is whether the Rabbanan were metaken mion even for Maimer or only for the main halach of protection of a ketana through Kiddush. Omer of Chista, why does Rav Hoshaya say that? Because, look, Ma'amar basically is done with her. We asked her. The guy goes over to her and says, will you accept this ring from me in token of our approaching Yibam? You know? So since she accepted it, so she could be okeretit with her mion. But Zika, nobody talked to her. Zika is something that falls upon her from the outside. So how would she have power to undo it? Lo matzi akra. Wait, says the Gemara, is that really true? Let me ask you something. According to Beit Hillel, if she actually had been sleeping with her husband, forget about this case where the husband died. She was sleeping with her husband 3 years later. Now she's 10 years old. She can still walk out on him, right? Okay, so then the equivalent case is the Yavam actually was Miyabim her. She's been sleeping with her Yavam now, right? So the deal over there is, even though that was Baal Korcha. So why could she do Yibam to that? She's able to do Yibam. Because if you're telling me that you're not limiting her to an Arusa, so then basically when Beis Hillel says she could do Miyun both to a husband and to a Yavam, you mean under similar circumstances where she's been sleeping with them. So then you're telling me that she could do Miyun even to the Yavam. So then I'm assuming it means that it's the equivalent of Nisuim. So fine. So then they're saying that you could be Eiker the Zika and that she walks out from him, Lemafreya, right? So that can't be what Rav Hoshaya was saying. I'll tell you what Rav Hoshaya was saying. He was saying that Bia Umamar to Huk Ovid Motzi Akra. Yes, he's sleeping with her. Okay. Sleeping with her was done by the Yavam. Ma'amar was done by the Yavam. The idea over there of Yibam, of Miyun, is that it addresses what the Yavam does. But Zika, that did not come from the Yavam. That's magic. And that magic, she can't talk about. It's the equivalent of this, in the case of a Diyoraisa marriage, where it would just fall upon her from God. And here, it falls upon her from God / Rabbana. Okay, so why would she have any right to be oker that? And here comes the critical machlokas between Ula and Rav Hoshaya. Says Ula, wrong. Of course she can be Mema Enes to Zika, because Zika is not magic. Zika does not fall on her from the sky. Zika is an extension of her original marriage to her husband, her first husband. And therefore, when she does Miyun, she's not being Mima Enet in the Yavam. She's being Mima Enet in the relationship to the Yavam. But the relationship to the Yavam is her first husband. Ah. Now you see how we're touching the underpinnings of Yibam. Mima Enet af le Zikato. My taima, she's going back to her marriage to her husband. And when you talk about Zika, you are talking about your marriage to your first husband. Nisue kamoi ka'akra. So even though she doesn't say, I am being mima enet in my husband now because he's dead. No, I'm being mima enet in you. But that's what it means to be mima enet in you. Eisvei rava le'ula. That's quite amazing, machlokas, right? So Rava asks from the Mishnah. Remember, the opening Mishnah in the Masechet spoke about the Chamesh Esrei Arayot. And it says over there, at the end of the Mishnah, it says that if one of these Arayot, and the case that we had was a daughter falls to her father. How can a daughter fall to her father? Because what happened is exactly this case. If she's mima enet, and there's another, meaning his brother married his niece, right? Nice, very nice thing to do. And then he ups and dies. Not a nice thing to do. Now, he's also married to another woman at the same time. She's a tsoras erva. But suppose he married his niece who was a ketana. Ah, then she's not a tsoras erva. And it says over there, well, she's sort of a tsoras erva because the girl did not do miyun. But so she's only married to Rabbona. So in that case, what's the halacha? Kosh yecholah lema'in velo miyana. Even if she had the theoretical right to be mima'enet because she was a ketana, her husband died before she was mima'enet. The tzora can not get yibum, but she still needs chalitza. Now, if you are correct, says Rava to Ula, this is crazy. Why should we allow her presence in this situation where she thought her husband was going to be alive tomorrow? So she wasn't mima enes in him. According to you, she can be mima enes. Her presence prevents the tzara from getting yibam because he's sort of married at the same, sort of married, mid rabbanan, to the same, at the same time to this ketana, right? Well, let her just do miyun now. Because you say that you can do miyun even after the death of the husband and you're dealing with the husband. So tell her to be mima enet. That will be completely, it will cause the original marriage to disappear. And now I hereby annul thee. I was never married to him. And then let the tzara go right ahead and get a full yibum. Why should we asser her in yibum? That doesn't seem correct. So am I, according to you, Ula, tima ein hashta, vitakrina nesuei kamoi, and you can undo the original marriage. Yes, says the Gemara, you can. But you can't allow the tzara to marry on that basis. Why? Because the problem of the tzora is different. Because at the time that she fell to Yibam, everybody viewed her as being married. Remember that idea? That Bishat Nefila, she looks like she's a tzora sabas. You can't take that off. People will say, whoa, what the heck? He went and he married the tzora when the brother was married to his own daughter? How did he do that? Well, what, they weren't really married. Get out of here, they weren't really married. I saw her going at the best and she had to do this whole thing with this meal, and I don't know what the heck it is, but she sure was married. So the very fact that she needed meal means that she looks like she was married. And we had this idea from Romney Bar Yecheskel, remember? That in a case where she was mima'enet to her own husband, as long as her husband is alive, she can turn around and she can marry the father of that husband at some later point because she was never married to the son. But if she gives yibam to the yavam, if she gives miyun to the yavam, she cannot marry the father. Why? Because the very fact that she fell to him for yibam and now she needed to do miyun means that people will say, this is outrageous. She was married to him. We saw her going into court. We saw her doing this whole procedure. Why is that? because b'sha'at nefilah nir'et kechalato. It looks like she's his daughter-in-law, even though technically speaking, he uprooted it. So the same thing is true over here, Akhenami, b'sha'at nefilah. It looks like she's the tzora of his daughter. And now he's going at a big miyabim, the tzora. In order to avoid that, it would be osir. That, says Ula, is the reason. It's not because you cannot be oiker the Zika. You can. Okay.
Now. Could Rebbe explain Rebbe Yishaya? Ula is so reasonable. Again, could Rebbe explain Rebbe Yishaya in contrast to Ula again?
Yes.
What is this for?
Rebbe Yishaya holds that the nature of the Zika in a D'oraisa Yibun is essentially magical. Min ha-shamayim, they gave him a wife. The fact that the reason for that was that he was married to the brother does not mean that it was the brother's marriage that created the Zika. Now remember, there's another machlokas about that issue, which is, do we say Zika is at the moment of the Nisuin HaRishonim? Is it the Nisuin HaRishonim that are mapil to Yibam? And if there was an Isser at that point, then it's already an Isser? Or do we say it's Nisa, in which case it's a creation of the Torah that because she was married to your brother, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, want you to marry her and take care of your brother's shame. But it's not a direct imposition upon you that comes from your brother's marriage. And therefore, how could you be Mamayan on something that is not really in your hands at all? That's what Moshiach is saying, right? So that's what I'm saying. It's a very profound difference in how we view the whole concept of Zika. Fine. And we know that Zika is the most subtle concept in the Masechet. We've seen so many different issues about when Zika takes place, how much it takes place, whether it has a din of marriage or whether it's just a chiyuv, and so on. That was like a major theme throughout the Masechet. Now, the question is, gentlemen, like this, and this is a very complex kind of issue. Because of that, I want to explain it up front. What are the factors that we need to take into consideration in order to fully understand what the possibilities are over here? So we have this gross argument between Rav Oshaya and Ula. Is it possible to address the original marriage and therefore the Zika that emerges from the original marriage with a mi'un to the Yavam or not? Rav Oshaya says, absolutely not. All that was meant by Beit Hillel when he said mi'un works for a Yavam, it's nothing to do with the marriage to the Yavam. It's only saying that if the Yavam gave Ma'amar, that the Rabbana made a takana of mi'un on Ma'amar, so she doesn't need a get. That's all. Don't get confused here. You can't touch the original marriage by giving mi'un after the death of the brother and the creation of Zika. That's nuts. Ula, on the contrary. And as I say, this is the first gross machlokas. Now we're going to get down and find the more subtle implications of those two approaches. Ula says, not true. You can actually take off the Zika. Now, the question is this. What would be the situation if there's more than one Yavam? Is doing Ma'amar according to, doing Mi'un according to Ula, is it the same thing as a get? Let's say one of the brothers would give a get. All of the brothers are usher. Right? So then if one of the brothers gets mi'un from her, then all of the brothers should be usher, and all that's left is the possibility of chalitz, not yibam. That's also a general gross question. Do we view mi'un as the equivalent of a get because it's one of the ways for a woman to get out of a marriage, or is it innately different? Now, we're going to see that there is a possibility, and this is level two. So again, level one was, well, I should say, this is level three. Level one was Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Is there such a thing as mi'un for a Yavam? According to Beit Hillel, there is. Level two, Machlokas, Rav Oshaya, and Ula. Does Beit Hillel mean, when he says there is mi'un, does he mean there's mi'un for Ma'amar, or does he mean that there's mi'un for Zika? level three, in the event that he means that there's Nilan for Zika, which is Ula's approach in Beit Hillel, does that mean that the Mion is the equivalent of a get and Asers her on further Yibum or not? The reason why not is very clear. Get is a universal. Mion is a specific. I don't like you, but I love your brother. I hope he takes me, right? Whereas a get is, I'm out of here. Has nothing to do with my relationship to you specifically. So, yes, Gershi, dear.
Can Rebbe just clarify, how would this then be a machlokas coming back up to the gross level of Beishama Beis Hillel, because Beishama says that Ein Benos Yisrael Hefka.
No, so, that's out. Beishamite says there's no such thing as Mion at all. Forget it.
So it's
don't worry about Beit Shammai. We're only going down in the Beit Hillel level now, to level two. Okay, so again, we're in Beit Hillel, Machlokas of Rav Hoshaya Ula. In Ula, the question is, what's the status of the Mion? Is Mion a universal like Gittin, or is it a specific? Okay, now, let's break that down further. It's a specific. Okay, so she went ahead and she gave Mion. So now, if you hold it to specific, she could still get married to a brother. So let's talk about a case where there's more than one brother. So we've been assuming she can't get married to him because it was specific to him. So it's at least the equivalent of his having given a get. Is it? Huh. Well, why not? Well, I'll tell you why not. If there's more than one brother, then that means the very fact that you're saying Mion is specific leads you into another problem, which is, if it's specific, can you remove Zika by piecemeal? I don't like you. I don't like you and your Zika, but I like him and his Zika. I mean, either there is Zika or there's no Zika, right? That's another issue. If you hold Ein Mi'un Lechatzi Zika, so then all that's happened is that she says, I don't want to marry you, but that really didn't take off the Zika at all. So suppose one of the other brothers wants to marry her. That should be no problem. But suppose he changes his mind and she changes her mind and she now wants to marry him. Did the Mion leave any Roshem at all? Or is the Zika still extant even to him? Because of Ein Mion Lechatzi Zika. So then basically, whatever relationship allowed him to marry her is still there. So if you change your mind, you can go right back and marry her now. Okay, so this, all of these issues need to be taken into consideration brilliantly. Now let's go through and see how the Gemara takes it into consideration. Where do we enter into these problems? Where there's more than one brother. Okay, so now, Omar Rab, if a Yavama did Mion in a case of multiple brothers, she gave Mion to one, she is Asura to all of them, just like a get. Okay, we said that's the simple, gross level. Is it similar to a get or not? Just like if a Yavama takes a get from one of the brothers, doesn't she become Asura to all the brothers? Same thing is true over here. Hokanami, she did Mion, becomes Asura to all brothers. Shmuel says, no, not at all. Mion abezet muteret lezet. Because the lo dami la balata get, what makes it similar to a get? Balata get, he does the get to her. And it's a general, therefore, concept. I'm trying to get rid of the Zika. But here, with the Mion, she does the Mion in a very specific way. I don't like you. The language of Mion is, lo re'ina becha, I don't want you. Lo tzavina bach, I don't like you. You, Bach, she didn't say anything about the brothers. So, Bechahu Deloreine, but Bechavrecha, your other brother, who I like him, I like him. Okay. Rav Asi says, forget about the question that you're raising, whether she's Muteret to the other brothers. She's even Muteret to him after giving him Mion. What? Yes. Because Mion Abezem Muteret Afilu Lo. So, well, maybe that means that Rav Asi is saying, like Rav Oshaya, that you're not affecting the Mion, and you're not affecting the Zika with Mion. Maybe that's what he means, and that's why she can. No, of course not. Rav Asi says agrees 100% with Ula. If there's one Yibum, one Yavam, so then he agrees completely with Ula. She can be Oiker the Zika. The problem is that there's more than one brother. And if there's more than one brother and Mion is specific, how can you take off a half of a Zika? There's no such animal as a half of a Zika. That's the point. So Halka B'Shnei Yavmi Maskinon Ein Mion L'Chatzi Zika. And that's the issue over here, which makes it useless in terms of uprooting anything, and therefore go right ahead and marry the same brother because it never took off for Zika. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying that if a Yavama is Mima'enet in one, she's Muteret to the Achim. Now, Achim, it seems, to all the brothers, meaning even to him. But they didn't agree. So who didn't agree? Abaye says, what do you mean, who didn't agree? Rav is the one who doesn't agree, because Rav said beferish, she's a surah to all of the brothers, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying she's muteret to all of the brothers. What's going on? Somebody is not muted. Please, whoever the somebody is, Sir Richard.
He was waiting for the next Mishnah.
I know it's good porridge, but let's keep it quiet, even though we love sharing. So that's who disagreed. Rava says, no, what do you mean, Rav? Rava says that, I mean, we think that when he says she's mutera to the achin, it's only if there are achin, meaning that there's more than one brother, which would mean that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Asi, that ein miyun l'chatzi zika. Okay, so then that's completely not true according to Rav Oshaya, because Rav Oshaya says Mion doesn't work on Zika at all, even if there's only one brother. So for sure, according to what Rav is saying, Rav Yochanan agrees with Rav Asi, but he certainly disagrees with Rav Ashi and with Rav. So I'm going one step further. The Amri Lo, but others say that no, he disagrees with Rav Asi, because when the one who wouldn't be meina to him is that since Rabbi Yochanan said she's muter l'achim, he only meant to the other brothers. He didn't mean to this brother. And according to Rav Asi, she could even marry this brother because ein mion l'chatzi zika. So this simply brings out the different madrigas, and that's all that we're bringing it in for. Okay, I mean, this is the complicated part. The rest is very simple. If you'll just give me 3 more minutes, we can actually run through it, because these are really not big issues. But the complicated issues, the meat of the daf, Baruch Hashem, we got through. So continuing on now. So now what was the other machlokas? The next machlokas is, according to Beit Shammai, you can only do miyun in front of the husband. According to Beit Hillel, you can do wherever you want. And then we also argue about the Beis Din. So Tanya, Amru lehem Beit Hillel leBeit Shammai. What about the famous case of Mr. Pishon, the bus driver? Of course, in those days, camels were the buses. Mr. Pishon, the camel driver. And we happen to know that his wife did Mion to him, even though he wasn't even in town. How do you explain that, Beit Shammai? Says Beit Shammai, ha! The case of Pishon the bus driver, he was a bum. And Pishon HaGamal B'midak Fushah Madad, he was a bum, and he was going around utilizing Midak Fushah, means he turned upside down the correct ways of behavior, and he was going around destroying his wife's property, wasn't investing in it, and therefore we allowed him to be Mima and her to be Mima and him. Is a mean, tough guy. And therefore we said, he wants to act like that, we'll treat him also mean and tough. How can you take off a Zika because somebody's a bad boy? Asks the Yerushalmi. Well, because basically the whole thing was only Rabbanan. So as Tosis points, that's not really much of a question, is it? Because it's all midrabbanan, and the rabbanan can be oiker the kedushin. But the Yerushalmi says, you see from here, that even though Beit Shammai says you're not allowed to do miyun that way, if you did, it would be a kosher miyun. So they allowed him to do it. That's the Yerushalmi approach. So therefore, wait a minute, says the Gemara. Beis Hillel's got another kasha Beit Shammai from Pishon the bus driver. And that is, if he was destroying his wife's nechsei malug, they must have already been married completely, because otherwise, as an arusa, there would be no rights to a husband for nechsei malug. Now, how the heck did he get his filthy paws on her property? And according to Beit Shammai, you're not even allowed to do miyun once you're really married. That's right, says Beit Shammai. He was a double bum, and therefore we double bummed him. Not only did we allow a wife who was fully married to do miyun, which is against the rules, but we even allowed her to do miyun in front of the other people, not in front of him, which is a double smack across the face to mean husbands. Okay? And then we had the last machlokas we had. Is it bifnei? Well, next to the last, we should say. Bifnei bezin shalor bifnei bezin. Now, the problem is that in Sanhedrin, we mentioned this Mishnah many times, it puts together chalitza and miyun, as we pointed out, the deep interrelationship of these sugyas. And it says a chalitza miyunim need three. Oh, Mantana, who is the one who says that? Oh, my Rabbi, oh gosh, I guess the Mishnah in Sanhedrin is going like Beit Shammai. Abaye says, is that reasonable? Afilu tema Beit Hillel, even a libra Beit Hillel. All that Beit Hillel says is you don't need dayanim. He didn't say you don't need people there. You do need three people. Kedetanya, Beit Shammai omrim bifnei Beit Din, and Beit Hillel omrim bifnei Beit Din, v'shalo bifnei Beit Din. That's so far a quote from our Mishnah. Adds the brighter, but both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are meidim. Elav elu meidim, shetzrichim shlosha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say, nah, you just need witnesses. You can even have two. And Omer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yumi, Omer, Rabbi Nachman, that is how we paskin. Like this zug, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudav, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And then the question is, why did Beit Shammai say she can't be hefker? She can either do miyun once and wait till she grows up and then do miyun again and then get married. What? But she already was in it. Why would she do miyun again? Well, I guess that she, well, we want to make sure that she hasn't changed her mind. So she should say, I want that miyun. I never liked the guy, and I still don't like that guy. Ula says, please. The Mishnah is talking about two different cases. It's saying either she does miyun once and then waits till she grows up, or she does miyun and then decides she wants him. Fine. Then let her go to the chuppah, when she won't be able to be mamanet again. Oh, now that makes sense. According to Ula, the language is very good. Because the Mishnah says, Achet tagdil v'tima ein v'tina say. So, yes, she can become completely married now. And that way you can't do miyun more than once in your lifetime. But according to Shmuel, why does it say to do miyun? She doesn't do miyun a second time. She just confirms the original miyun. Doesn't even make sense, the words. She should grow up and do miyun. A grown up can't do miyun. So how does Shmuel explain the Mishnah? It should say, until she grows up and says, yes, I stand by the miyun I did. Asha.